Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show for March 2nd with Richard Olson and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. I want to tell people who have come in late that we were listening to some wonderful music being played by Tommy Priakas, and it is de-stress music in honor of our guest today, who we'll be meeting in a few minutes. But thank you, Tommy. That was wonderful. I am just so mellow, even in the midst of this ice storm that we're having here. I should say good morning to you, Richard. Don't you wish you had some ice storms out there and have some rain?
It just sounds like something out of an alien space movie to me. I'm sorry. I'm from California. I don't know from ice storms. It sounds like, wow, if I was suddenly teleported there and was outside an ice storm, I'd think I was on another planet. It sounds bad.
You've had 2 years of drought, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still short. We just had some more rain, but we're in, you know, drought conditions this year again.
I'm going to use my mind and back the storm up and dump it right on you. Okay, I'm on Montana, moving it on over. Okay, expected shortly. We should get serious and let people know that we are simultaneously broadcasting. Thank you, George, for posting all that technical information in the chat. We are on Blog Talk Radio and also WebEx for people who want to watch what we're doing. And we'll be doing things like looking at our guest's website and some of her books and book reviews on Amazon that I have pulled up. So we're coming to you from the studios of Sound Health and the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology in Southern Ohio. We are the largest 501c3 nonprofit research center in Ohio. What we do we just stick a microphone in front of your face and take your vocal print and look at that in terms of the data that we've already gathered, and we're able to look at what's going on in your body and give you information to help you obtain optimal health from an innate perspective. I was trying to think of a good case that we just did that would, we just had one about this mitochondrial disease that is on TV right now, and they don't really know how to fix it. They can kind of contain it. So we went in and decoded the mitochondrial DNA and the proteins that go along with it, so we're going to be doing some research on that. We want you to be able to share with us your ideas, but also what we find in the research labs that we do here. So the studies that we're doing right now are on PTSD, and we've already done a two-day workshop on that. We just finished with radiation exposure, and we had hoped that everyone in California and Washington and the west border would show up. But I think we had about 100 or so people. In that, maybe we'll spread the word more. So we're going to be asking you to call in for questions. If you have any for our guests, 347-850-1407. And I think after you hear her speak, you'll have lots of questions. One of the things that has happened with this campaign that we're doing in bringing these public classes, and this really is a wonderful two-day, totally free class on radiation exposure, and we also gave people the software and the textbooks and everything else in hopes of being able to identify pockets of radiation exposure. If we have two or three people in each community and they all show up with strontium, then we know there's a concentration there, maybe even before the people know themselves. And we taught people how to see trauma in the voice in case there is exposure to something like that. The next one's going to be on pre-vaccination risk factors, and that'll be in March. But, you know, one of the problems with this, as people begin to learn about it and talk about it, for every person that we can train to teach these classes in the community, we have about 100 people who need to be seen, who are so sick and so ill. And we also get a lot of referrals from doctors to help them figure out what is going on. And in this radiation exposure, we're seeing a lot of cell communication. That's the problem. But it really, it tears me up that we don't have enough people to take care of everybody. We don't have enough centers to send people to. And they're begging us to get on an airplane and come and see them because they're dying. And we don't have the funds to do that. We are trying to train people just as fast as we can. And I feel like I need to apologize, but I don't have an answer of what to do with all of this, except we're very willing to help train people to take care of themselves, and we're scrambling to do that just as fast as we can. We have a chat. I love the chat. People come in early. Richard calls it backstage whatever. What do you, backstage something? Chat?
I just call it backstage.
And we get to meet everybody. You get to meet people with like minds. And we have a great time. We usually have something going on. So we invite you to come in a little early, at least for WebEx. You can't come in any earlier than 15 minutes for Blog Talk. But, Richard, there is a chat going on at Blog Talk too, right?
We've got chats everywhere. We've got the Blog Talk radio chat going, and also people can listen there. I know it's odd to give you the number now, but again, I'll give you the phone number to call in if you have questions, 347-850-1407. We have chat there. We have the WebEx feed, which you can find by going to soundhealthoptions.com and click on the radio tab and then choose Blog Talk Radio, and you can get to the video feed. So you can see charts that Sherry's showing us or our guest's website or book or covers. Or we've got technology pretty wired up.
Oh, and for those of you who want to listen to the archives, it's the homepage, the orange homepage button, and you go down to the very bottom, and on the left-hand side, Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to the last 5 shows. And we just put something up there, too, about Chris Christie. We did an evaluation of his voice, and we've been contacted about doing Dr. Oz's voice, about his change on GMOs and some other things. That's going to be kind of nice. We'll post it. New articles we put up there. The video that we're going to be in, The Business of Disease, it's coming out, we hope, shortly. They keep adding things to it, but we did have Sonia on the show. But everything important that happens, we kind of try to stick on that front page. So if you want to be part of our mailing list, there's information there, too. And I am about to sneeze. Isn't that awful? So I'm just trying to remember everything that's here. We try to chalk this full of information. If you don't see what you need there, just get in touch. It's just my name, Sherry Edwards, Sharry Edwards, at Gmail. One last bit. I have the keynote for February 24th. I sent this to you last night, Richard. Did you check it out?
I did. I'm always, for people who don't know about the keynote, I just think the keynote is, it's always so on, meaning it always so applies. And the keynote is actually a note that Sherry Software reads that's emanated from the cosmos. And it's also monitored by other agencies with, besides the NSA. I know they monitor that, but they wouldn't even know what to do with a keynote. But a lot of, you know, actual NASA and agencies also monitor this. They don't call it the keynote. I'm certain they call it something else. But it's an energy that is emanated that produces this note that, you know, changes about every 4 or 5 days. And it's always just amazing how it, I'm, even though I know what it is and I'm aware of it, it's always so amazing how it just fits right in. So, yes, please, the keynote.
Okay, March 4th, 2014. So we always do this a little bit ahead because it ranges in about a 6-day span. And so I'm calling this one From Energy to Reproduction. The color that it represents is violet red and the note of B. We have been experiencing some patterns that sap energy and play havoc with the muscles needed to support a great golf game, starting with arginine that supports stamina and male reproduction. We move through niacin B3 that helps support our genetic code, plus cholesterol metabolism and plaque control. On Tuesday, serine, an amino acid that comes into play, that helps make bile salts, helps with fat digestion. You might yourself find yourself craving grains. Serine is in a lot of grains. Calcium uptake and calcium in support of heart muscle is problematic for the next few days. So pay close attention to all the sister compounds for calcium, or just eat some great sources of calcium. And if you don't know what those sisters nutrients are, go to our downloads. Go to radiation exposure software, and there's a green sheet there. It's like green and white, and it'll give you the information on what calcium needs to make itself useful, vitamin D and lysine and magnesium and all the rest of it. And that sometimes is what's the problem. People have enough calcium, they just don't have its sister components. Okay. Potassium cell salts are coming into stress, adding to the potential calcium stress as it involves the heart. The proteins that help the heart muscle are in stress, and the ones that need calcium in particular. Herpes simplex, as in mouth, cold sores, comes into play on Tuesday strong. Maybe some extra zinc or vitamin C is in order, sort of a preventive medicine, or maintenance, I should say. Can't say medicine. Muscles in stress, the supinator of the forearm and the adductor magnus involved in hip rotation. For golfers, this added stress for your game will soon be over, probably by Tuesday evening or Wednesday. Okay. Richard, you take lots of walks. Have you noticed any issue with your adductor magnus, which brings the hip into the body?
Boy, howdy. Yes, I have, is my straight answer. Yes, I have. I went for a walk yesterday in between the rain here in Northern California and had to come home and put ice on my hip, which is unusual. I mean, I have kind of a hip thing anyway, and it actually did, I noticed it getting worse. So when I saw the keynote last night, I was like, oh, man, that keynote got me again. So, yes, I have.
It's not really your stuff. It's just universal stuff, like
yeah.
The energy that for sunspots and controls the tides. And you know, a lot of people relate this back to astrology. What those folks knew, the ancients knew, I think we're just now catching up to them with our computers. They have a lot more patience than I do, at least, to put all that stuff together. Well, we need to get on to our great guest. Richard, would you introduce?
I certainly will. Kathy Gruver is an award-winning author and the host of a TV show based on her first book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet. She earned her PhD in natural health and has authored 2 books on stress, Body-Mind Therapies for the Body Worker, and her most recent book, Conquer Your Stress with Mind-Body Techniques. Kathy has studied mind-body medicine at the famed Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Harvard Medical School and pursued further education at the National Institute of Health. She's been featured as an expert in numerous publications. I won't list them because if I list them all, we won't have time to talk to Kathy. I mean, it's really amazing. Dr. Gruber has appeared as a guest expert on over 200 radio and TV shows, including NPR, Sky News London, CBS Radio, and Lifetime Television. When does she have time? No wonder you're an expert at stress reduction, Dr. Gruber, because, wow, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's amazing. I mean, I guess I have to ask right out of the gate, although you seem I'm trying to find a softer word than overachiever. You seem driven, so I kind of can understand why you would be so interested in stress reduction. I hate to leap into that in that way, but I don't know a better way to say it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit type A. I'm an only child. I'm very competitive. I was my dad wanted a son, and he got me. And I'm a triple Capricorn, and I'm just very competitive. So all that stuff, and it's so funny because I've had so many radio shows recently where they say, we have to stop reading her bio or there's no time to talk to her. So it's very funny that you did that. Yeah, I love sharing the knowledge that I have. And to me, it's pointless if I go learn all this stuff and then don't tell people about it, because there's so many usable techniques that people can use in their own homes. It's free. There's no side effects to help themselves with their stress and their health. And I want to tell everybody about it. So that's why I do all this.
And how did you get into, and what was your direction that you went? Was there a trigger event or something that got you into the alternative lifestyle? I mean, were your parents hippies? And I mean that in a kind way. I'm from California.
Right.
I can use that kindly.
Right. No, actually, completely the opposite. I had very middle of the road. I grew up in Pittsburgh, where there was not, especially in the 70s and 80s, not a lot of alternative medicine. I was actually an actor. So this is the other reason I like to do all the radio and TV. I always had this penchant for it. I would sit behind my dad on long car trips and rub his neck so he didn't get a headache. So this is the first time I put my hands on someone and thought, hey, I think I'm kind of good at this. My mom got sick when I was young. She died when I was 18. And a lot of people try to connect that of, oh, well, your mom had cancer. This is why you do what you do. And I'm sure it was a contributing factor, but it was not that very specific connection that I've seen in some people of, you know, they hurt their leg, they go to a physical therapist, they cure them, now they're a physical therapist. But, you know, all of this, my entire life came together in a way of being exposed to different experts and different people who taught me about healing and mind-body and massage, and I was smart enough to take all the information that I gleaned from them and turn it into a career. So it's just sort of developed over the years, going from, you know, starting a massage practice to more degrees, to writing the book, to doing a TV show, to, you know, to where I am now, and I don't know where it's going to go. You know, the world twists and turns. It's kind of cool.
Well, do you define stress as, I'll just say it plainly, as a noun or a verb, or is it both? Is this just a label for people, or is this an action? What do you consider stress?
Well, it's all those things. I mean, you know, stress is a real thing that certainly influences us, so in which case it's a noun, and we can feel stressed out or we can feel stressed, so that's the verb part of it. And, you know, stress is all around us. We have to have stress or else we wouldn't be alive. One of the experts in the field, Hans Selye, said, you know, the only way to avoid stress is to be dead. I'll take being alive and having some stress. And there's good stress and there's bad stress. I do flying trapeze for fun. I think it's incredibly relaxing. It's a mindfulness exercise for me. So what I find completely not stressful, other people would be like, I'm not standing up there 30 feet in the air and, you know, swinging out, spinning and getting caught by this guy. That would be stressful to them. So we have to remember that stress is a really individual thing, and there's good stress and there's bad stress. And the problem is not the stress, it's our reaction to the stress. So when talking about, you know, stress relief, it's more stress response relief. And that's one of the things I focus on, is how to control that stress response, because we can't control the stress.
I think we try in several different ways, because a good friend of ours and a dear human on the planet, when he heard we were going to be doing a show on stress, he sent us music to help us de-stress.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be lots of other ways to do it. His music certainly helped me mellow out, and other people loved it too. But, you know, you stressed me out when you said you do flying trapeze for fun. Oh, my gosh. Yes, that would stress me out. So is your new book about the different kinds of things people can do? Because we're going to go look at it here on Amazon as soon as you start talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was going to say, that's absolutely what it is. I consider it a buffet because I list not only some of the major ones with some research to back it up, so things like meditation, affirmations, visualization. I've got sound healing, and I love that music. In fact, I was thinking, I need to know where that music came from when I was listening to your show come in. It was just gorgeous. And then I list just a little page or two pages about each different modality, and I think I list about 40 or 45 different things that you can do, excuse me, not only with a practitioner that you might have to go find, or you can do on your own. So, you know, acupuncture is great. Typically, you need to go, unless you're an acupuncturist yourself, you need to go find an acupuncturist to do this for you. Same thing with massage. But for things like yoga or Tai Chi and some of the like sound healing, color healing, I even talk about gemstones, past life regression. I mean, I made it a book that anybody can pick up and find something that's going to speak to them. And I had a woman who was so upset that I mentioned past life regression in the book. I don't believe that, and I could never do that. And I said, well, okay, don't read that page. you're not going to go storming out of the restaurant because they have chicken on the buffet and you don't like chicken. You're going to skip the chicken. So, you know, if there's something in there that doesn't work for you, you don't have to do it. You know, just do something else. So I wanted to make sure I gave everybody enough options, and, you know, something will ring true and something won't. I don't advocate one over the other. Some things I've done in the book and some things I've just researched in the book. And so I wanted to give people different ways that will ring true to them that they can use to help them with their stress.
Well, we will ask Tommy Priakas, who is playing that music, to see if he'll send you a copy. He will. He's a lovely person. And I don't know that I've ever seen him stressed, but he's a musician, and that may be part of it. Mm-hmm. And I should say to people, I had two great big problems in my life about past irrational things and past life regressions helped take care of it. So mm-hmm. I can confirm that that's a biggie, whether my mind's playing tricks or not. It worked, and I think right. That's where you're going. Whatever works, use.
Exactly. And I've had, you know, I've talked to people about past life regression because I've had it done. And I agree. I have found that it's been really beneficial for me. And so many people have said, oh, well, you know, what if you're just making up those stories? And I had the privilege of studying with Roger Wolger way back many years ago when I was in Pittsburgh. I don't even think he's with us anymore. I think he might have passed away. But he did this entire seminar, this whole weekend seminar for hundreds of psychotherapists and psychiatrists. And he was, you know, actually regressing people and going through things. And, of course, there was one guy in the front row that raised his hand and said, you know, come on, Pat, really? What if we're just making up all these stories? And he said, you know what? It doesn't actually matter if you're making up the story. This is clearly the story that you needed to tell at this moment. And this woman now doesn't have the problem she had before she told me the story. So I don't care where it comes from. I want the result that she's now feeling better and she doesn't have this issue anymore. And I thought, you know, that's fabulous. So even if it doesn't, you know, if you can't believe that it's a past life, that's the story that needed to be told to get to the root issue. And maybe that could be contributing to a long-term stressor. So to me, it's whatever's going to work for you. Call it whatever you want.
Can we jump sideways just for a moment? And can you talk? Stress gets a bad rap, and it's I'd like you to talk about good stress.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that people miss out on, that there are stressors that occur to our systems that are actually good stressors.
Yeah, stress, you know, I like to look at it in terms of exercise. You know, when we exercise, we're stressing our muscles, we're stressing our heart, we're stressing our body, and we have to do that. You know, people who are bound or confined to a wheelchair or bedridden for a long period of time, you know what starts to happen to the muscles. Everything starts to break down, and it does not have that vitality that it did when we are actually moving our bodies around. We build muscle through stressing them. So we need to have stress, you know, physical stress, and I think it's through that emotional, spiritual stress we grow sometimes. You know, if everything was all sunshine and roses and there was no challenge, we wouldn't be growing. You know, I remember how much I hated word problems. That was a stressor to me. But when I get through the end of it, I came out the other side, you know, with the benefit of knowing how to do that math problem. So I think we have to remember that it's through stress that we grow and learn. And also, you know, that's how our bodies work. We need to have that stress. Stress, does it have benefits per se other than the growth aspect of it? It's just being on this planet. And we all have a different stress hardiness, which is why I can find flying trapeze relaxing and you find it stressful. It's such an individual thing, and we have to honor that and remember that. I have friends that tell me they're stressed about things, and I think, really? Why does that stress you out? I mean, to me, it seems like a walk in the park. To them, it seems stressful. And so we have to remember when people are telling us what is stressing them, it's a really individual thing, and we just have to honor that in everybody.
Well, and it's amazing. Oh, go ahead, Sherry.
Along that same line, unless you have a follow-up question to what she just said, Richard, because I'm going to take it in a different direction.
No, go ahead.
The stresses that you really can't do anything about, like what's happening in the Ukraine or starving children or pets being mistreated, do you have any kind of magic that helps people through that?
Well, it's not even magic. They're just techniques. And you're right. And that's why, you know, I mean, stress isn't the problem because we can't control that stuff. We can't control the rain or the flooding or the ice storm or the flight delay or the woman in line in front of us at the post office that flips through every book of stamps before she picks the one she wants. We just need one stamp. The traffic, you know, we can't control any of that stuff. So this is where I like doing things like affirmations, changing our thoughts to positive, doing mini meditations, which I really like doing, visualization. You know, we can change our physiology. And some people believe if you watch things like The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know, and they believe we can change the world or at the very least get a good parking spot. So, you know, changing things in our own minds to positive is going to have a benefit. It's going to decrease the physiological response that stressor has on us, and we're more pleasant to deal with. We're in a better cognitive space to take action. I do a mini meditation before I get on stage to speak, before I do a radio show, before I sit down to write. I do them very, very frequently because it gets your brain ready for higher functioning. So I'm going to have more eloquent and thought-provoking answers than if I just jumped out of bed and said, oh, I'm getting on the radio now. You know, so it's a preparatory thing, and I think there's absolutely things we can do that affect ourselves so that the stress doesn't get quite as much of a grip.
I want to make one comment, and then I'll turn it back over to Richard. And I'm sorry I'm interrupting, but I think this would help. One of the things I do in my life is I do everything that I can do to help or to hinder a situation from happening, and then if it happens anyway, then I accept with grace because I can't do more than I can do. And that little sentence right there has helped me through so many things. Do everything I can do. And then to help or hinder, if you want it to happen or not, and then accept. I see the stress building in people when it happens anyway, and they go against whatever the universe has in mind.
Right, absolutely. That's a really good point. And my husband likes to say we're not necessarily controlling the issue, we're managing the issue. Because, again, there's things that we can't stop from happening. We just have to then manage our reaction to it and manage the fallout of that situation. And if you go into it already in a stressful state, you know, if you're heading into the meeting with the boss and you're so sure you're going to get fired and you get yourself all worked up and you walk into the meeting at a level 9 of craziness, where is there to go but a 10? And the next thing you know, you're screaming at the guy and the security is taking you out. If you can keep yourself relaxed and calm and in a positive state, you go in at a level 3. Yeah, you still might be fired, but now you're only going to go up to a 5 or 6 and you're going to be able to handle it better and you're not going to have that horrible physiological reaction. At that point, you haven't stopped the negative thing, but you have gone into it with a different amount of grace and a different mindset and a different way of handling that stress. And that's one of the keys as far as I can see.
And can you talk a bit more about your mini meditation? I know in a bunch of circles, and I know a number of people, if you use the term meditation, their eyes roll up in their head and they look at you like, oh, you're nuts, I don't have time for that.
Right.
But you're talking about really mini.
Yeah, and I was actually one of those people because you can imagine if, you know, what I find relaxing is hip-hop dancing and trapeze, I'm not sitting on a pillow and stilling my brain and quieting my body. that sends me into a state of just I want to go crazy and run around the room. So when I studied with Herbert Benson at his institute at Harvard, there was one morning where the woman said, okay, we're going to meditate now. And I thought, oh, man, because I'm terrible. I know I'm terrible at it. I just am. And she explained that we were going to do a mini meditation. And there were only two rules. Concentrate on something repetitive, and when thoughts float through, dismiss them without judgment. And here I am, I'm ready to write down, you know, you put your tongue in the roof of your mouth and your eyes roll up and you're looking at something, but your eyes are closed and your hands are in a position and your feet are crossed and you're, you know, if you itch, you can't scratch it and, you know, then you turn to bubbles and you float away. That's what I had thought meditation was. And when she explained these two rules, I went, hey, wait, I bet I can do that. And so they had us just concentrate on our breath, and we paid attention to the rise and fall of our chest, not controlling the breath, not slowing it down, not changing it, just using that as a focal point. And then on our inhale, we think, I am, and we do that on all inhales, so inhale, I am. And on the exhale, we think, at peace. And on all exhales, we think, at peace. So it's inhale, I am, exhale, at peace. And if thoughts float through, if suddenly the to-do list pops up, or, oh, geez, I have to go make a phone call, or just say, okay, I'm thinking. Dismiss that. Don't judge yourself. You're not wrong. It's not bad. You're not a failure. And return to inhale, I am, exhale, at peace. And we did this for 5 minutes, and we had our eyes closed. There's about 120, 150 physicians sitting in this huge conference room. And when she said, okay, you know, do your last round and then come back to the room, I actually shook my head no, and she started to laugh because she pinpointed from the very first day that I was very type A and that to ask me to meditate was going to be asking a lot of me. But I loved it because I could do it, and you can do it anywhere. You can do it in traffic. Don't close your eyes if you're in the car. You can do it waiting for that flight. You can do it while you're in line someplace. No one ever has to know what you're doing, and it completely reverses that fight or flight response. It calms you down if you can get yourself into a place where you can get into the cycle and start doing it. So I've taught that all over the country. I have a YouTube video of it. I'm working on an iTunes podcast along with some beautiful music so that you can do this at home and I can guide you through it. And it's such a great technique. It is my favorite thing that I've learned ever. And I wish I would have known it when I was, you know, 20 years ago. I wish I would have had that in my toolbox.
Well, and the amazing thing about something like that is, I mean, now there's the crowd. I can see them. I know these people that are going, yeah, right. You got to be kidding me. 5 minutes, that's good. What is that going to do for me? And then exactly that experience that you had where they'll actually do it.
Right.
And then they kind of look, they still roll their eyes or maybe halfway, but eventually they start doing it. And once you start adding that as a simple practice, there's another spooky word in meditation practice. Oh, God, that's people screaming from the room.
Yep.
And, you know, it's such a simple thing to do. I do this, I walk a lot, and sometimes I do it even when I'm walking with my eyes open. I'm doing it just as I'm breathing, just to bring myself back to the moment. Because for me personally, I find that what happens when I go careening out of control, I have a ridiculously, even though I have a calm exterior, my mind is like a box of marbles.
Right.
And so to be able to bring myself into the moment, like before I go on a show, I, you know, do a couple minutes of breathing and sitting and just being here. And that's like an amazing thing. I mean, it's really, it sounds so simple and kind of, I say, dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But it really works, man. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
It does, and it's one fault is almost its simplicity, because I've had people say to me, just like you just brought up, oh, well, if that's easy, I mean, if it's that easy, why isn't everybody doing it? Or if it's that simple, why doesn't my doctor tell me to do that? I get things like that all the time. And, you know, to say, what will 5 minutes do? Well, look how quickly we can go into a stress response when we get cut off on the freeway. Or look how quickly we can go into a stress response when the guy in front of us sits at the green light, goes when it's yellow and we're stuck on the red. I mean, we can go from 0 to 10 pretty fast in what is a really stupid situation. So we can then calm it down just as quickly and easily. We can go to anger very quickly or frustration or stress. We're not trained to go to relaxation that same way. And that's what the minis do, is they bring us out of that stress response. They bring us back to the present moment. And frankly, that's the key right there, is staying in the present moment, because where is the stress? It's either behind us in something that we're dwelling on and reliving, or it's projecting into the future of, oh, geez, I've got this meeting with the boss tomorrow. What does he want from me? Right now, at this very moment, where is the stress? Unless you're sitting in a tax audit or you're literally under the knife in surgery, there's not a whole heck of a lot of stress right at this moment. And so the more we can focus on this present moment, as I'm looking at my beautiful cat staring at me and concentrating on how beautiful he looks and his fur is soft and his eyes are green, and, you know, it pulls me back into the present, and nothing else in the future or the past matters at that point. And that's what mindfulness is about, staying in the present moment and letting everything else just go away for a while.
Well, I think talking, you brought up pets, so I have to. You know, that's the thing about dogs and cats. When you hang out with, I was going to ask you about pets as a stress-reducing device, but it makes me have to say that ahead. I mean, as you look into that cat's face, he's not sitting there thinking, wow, I'm really in a bad mood because I didn't catch that mouse this morning. Rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's like there.
Yep.
He's looking at you. There are a lot of complicated thoughts. I know how people have attitudes about cats, and it's kind of true. They don't have a lot of complicated thoughts. They're not thinking about where they're going to be in 2 hours.
Right.
They're really kind of there looking at you, and they're purring, you know, and they're in the moment. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. And I've seen in healthcare facilities where they bring animals in for people. And it's an amazing – I know somebody in Northern California – this. I have to talk about it because it blows my mind when I think about it. They had raised a camel as a
camel?
Pup. A camel. Yeah, no, I'm not
wow.
kidding. I know these people. They had raised – actually, it was a dromedary. But a camel just sounds much nicer. A dromedary, since it was a pup. And they would take her into healthcare facilities to visit people. They had been with her entire life. And they took her into healthcare facilities, and I used to hang out with her. And she was just like the most amazing, soft, gentle, sweet, nuzzling, kind. And, I mean, yeah, it's A, it blows people away when they would see her come visit, but B, her beingness was so just exactly what you were talking about with your cat. I mean, it's the same. Animals are, you know, do talk about animals as a stress-reducing device. Or the device is not kind, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. They do pull us into the present moment, the purring, the nuzzling, the hugging, the cuddling. And one of the things, we don't have a dog just because it doesn't fit into our lifestyle. We've got two just amazing cats. But, you know, dogs, they get you out because you have to walk them. They make you social. And they actually had done a study where they looked at people going outside and walking kids and people going outside and walking dogs, and more people actually stopped the dog owners to have conversations, which was kind of funny. So, you know, it lends to our health in so many ways. And you're totally right about the staying in the present moment. You know, the cheetah out on the Serengeti, if they miss the antelope, they don't go back and go, oh, man, the sun was in my eyes, and, you know, that girl broke up with me yesterday, and, oh, I'm not going to do this again. You know, they don't have these excuses that we do. They don't have the kind of mind we do. When animals have stress, it is a very traditional fight or flight stressor. Something's chasing them. They have an injury. They have to eat. You know, we're the only species that can make up this psychological stress. We're the only ones that can fantasize about something and put ourselves into a very real stress response. And that's good in some ways and that's bad in some ways. We don't want to be creating stories in our own mind that stress us out because that's bad for our bodies. It's hard on our hearts. It depletes our immune system. It's not good for digestion or sexual health or, you know, so many of the diseases, disorders, dysfunctions, things that we're experiencing now in our healthcare system are, I don't want to say caused by stress, but definitely stress is a contributing factor. It exacerbates the problem. It makes the issues worse. And, you know, there are a couple, you know, illnesses that we can see a clear connection with stress, high blood pressure. There's a connection between stress and cancer and, you know, breathing issues and allergies. And, you know, I mean, it contributes to everything. So we can definitely take a lesson from those animals and stay in the present moment and make sure that we're, you know, not creating stress in our own minds.
We have a couple of questions from our audience about practical applications of this, and I would like to start with one about how to treat our own stress. If your husband or significant other, whoever, isn't aggravating you to go to a party that you didn't really want to go to, so you finally give in just to get him to shut up, and you go to the party and you make yourself and them and everybody miserable.
Yeah.
You've created your own stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about having that courage to say, I don't want to go to this party. What don't you understand about no? And please leave me alone about it. We create our own stress by our own actions, by not drawing a line and saying, if I'm going to this party, I'm going to have the best time I can, or don't agree to go.
Right.
And the other one that's been brought up in chat is lies. People lie about situations, and then they have to keep track of them, and they create stress, and they create drama between people. So do you have any little practical behaviors that people can use to quit creating their own stress?
Yeah, absolutely. And the example I like to use with that is, you know, we get around, we're through the holidays now, but before the Thanksgiving Christmas holiday, I have all these clients telling me, oh, I got to go to my family for Christmas, and we've got this brother-in-law that always wants to argue about politics and da-da-da-da. So they boost themselves into the stress response, and they're already irritated with the brother-in-law before they've even arrived at the house. Before the first piece of turkey is sliced, they're already angry with everybody in the family because of past patterns. And to me, that's, you're doing a disservice to everybody. You're already going in a negative mindset, just the whole thing of, you know, going into the boss's meeting already stressed out at a nine. We all have the ability to change, and situations always have the ability to be different. Now, I'm not saying they necessarily will be, but there is that possibility. So imagine how much more pleasant it would be if you went to the family dinner without any expectation of the brother-in-law is going to be a jerk. If you go in positive with a healthy outlook and a positive mindset, and your own decision already made of, I'm not going to engage, or I'm not going to get angry, you know, we only have three choices. We can change the situation, we can change our reaction to the situation, or we can leave the situation. And if you don't want to go to the party, your spouse should, you know, honor, no, I don't want to go. That's the whole first thing. that's couples counseling. I don't do that. But you know, if you do have to go, you know, you have to go to the business meeting or the business party, you know, going in with the most positive attitude you can is going to give you a better experience. If you show up already not wanting to be there, you're not going to have fun. So doing an affirmation of, you know, I am excited and engaging and ready to meet new people. Conversations are enlightening and lively, you know, as opposed to, I don't want to go to this stupid party. You know, we have the ability to change our mindset and our physiology with thoughts, and that's where I love affirmations. I love visualizing. The mini meditations are great. Like I said, they cease the stress right away. And the lying thing, boy, I don't even know what to comment on that. I mean, that's just, don't lie. I mean, there's really no trick I can give you to that one. You know, if you're going to lie about things, that's, I can't help you on that one. But yeah, if it's a party situation, you know, go and change your mind. That we always have the ability to do is change our mind.
Or don't go.
Right.
The other one about lying, I have a little trick for this, that I pretend that whoever I'm talking about is in the room. So you will be surprised if you just keep that little trick in mind, how much that will change how you say something about them to someone else. And it just keeps the stress down. My other trick for me is that if I say something about somebody, I give myself 24 hours to go say it to their face. And that just keeps me out of stress. When you're working with the staff and the public, you've got to find a way, for me anyway, I have to find a way to have a clear foundation so that anytime somebody comes at me, I know where I stand.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, I like the imagining the person's in the room, because if you're about to badmouth somebody or gossip or do all these negative things, because I do believe words have power and words have energy and words can cause stress and harm, certainly, you know, that's a really good thing of, you know, would I say this if they're standing right here? You know, that's a good exercise.
The other is to, for me anyway, is to check my motive. We were going to some Tupperware party or something, my daughter and I was on a really important phone call, and I got two thoughts here. One, I'm answering some questions that are in the chat that they want practical application. So that's what this story is about. We were going to this Tupperware party or something, and I was talking to a woman about her daughter, and it was really important. And we got in the car, and my daughter said, well, we'll just tell her we got lost. And I said, that would just crud up my energy and stress mm-hmm. me, because I don't want to say I got lost when I didn't, because I think lies are real things that cause stress. I'll tell her what the truth is. So when we got there, I said, I'm really sorry you had to wait for us. That's what I was sorry about.
Right.
I wasn't sorry I was late because I was doing something else. So checking, that was very important. So just checking your motives and how you speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another practical application. And you look at the house and there's five people who live there and I've got to clean up this living room. You've already made the announcement that you're going to clean it up and nobody else has to help. But if you'll just say, this living room needs cleaned up, you do this, and you do this, and you do this. I have seen so many mothers and parents come to us in such a state of stress, and it was their language that told somebody else they didn't need help.
Right.
Can you talk about those kind of practical applications?
Yeah, absolutely. And the asking for help thing, you know, is so key. And choosing your words very carefully and choosing what your motivation is going to be, because then that leads to, you know, resentment. There are people that do the passive-aggressive thing where they say, okay, I'm going to clean now, and they expect everyone to rush forward and go, oh, how can I help? And they might want to help, but they need direction from that of, you know, I'm going to clean the living room now. I could really use some help. What can you guys do? Or delegating. You know, that's a personality type thing. Some people are really good at delegating, and some people prefer to kind of offhandedly make a comment and hope everybody joins in. And then when they don't, they resent it and they get mad. That's a more communication issue than a stress issue. But if your communication is poor and you're not getting your needs met, you're going to have stress, and it's going to come out in very negative ways on those people that you're having that relationship with. So it's just a matter of, you know, again, thinking about your motivation, like you said, and choosing words and asking for help. Because oftentimes if you don't, that's going to lead to, you know, secondary gain of maybe very unconsciously staying sick or staying stressed because maybe that's the only way you get help. I have a client who had a very bad back. She had a workplace accident. So she had a very legitimate accident, but occasionally her back would, quote, go out, and she would have to spend 4 or 5 days on the couch. Well, during that time, of course, all she could do was read and watch TV, and her husband brought her food, and she petted and played with the cats, and he would do all the housework. And I remember her at one point saying, gosh, you know, I almost kind of like when my back goes out because then my husband does all the cleaning.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's horrible. I mean, it's like, I'm sorry your back has gone out. But now on what subconscious level are you hoping it happens, wishes it happens more frequently, it lasts longer, because you're getting the secondary gain of now my husband's cleaning. It would have been so much healthier to say, you know, I really need some help around the house, and I know you work full-time, but I really can't handle this all. Can I give you a few tasks? Or hire a housekeeper, you know, twice a week, you know, twice a month to come in. And, you know, there was other options other than enjoying that time that her back went out, because that's not going to allow full healing. That's going to keep you in a state of illness. So it was always just such an interesting example for me when she had admitted that she kind of liked when her back went out. And, you know, we get special attention when we're sick. I remember being a kid and almost sort of liking when I was sick, because my dad would come home and he'd bring me special food and comic books so I could stay home and color. And we loved that. Now we have to be careful not to carry that into adulthood and use that as the only way we get attention, or that's going to set us up for a cycle of a lot of stress.
That's actually, I'm going to jump in, because it's an odd, great launching. It's sort of what I was going to ask you about, and this is a guaranteed another eye roller, creative visualization.
Uh-huh.
And what you're talking about, the lead for me is what you were just talking about to me is akin or like reverse creative visualization.
Yeah.
She's happy that her husband's cleaning the house. She has a back injury, so therefore she visualizes having herself have a back injury so her husband will clean the house. Really? Oh, my God. Yeah, think about that. So please talk to us about, as I say, another eye roller in many crowds, creative visualization.
Yeah, it sounds like this airy fairy, like woo-woo thing. Ooh, where, you know, you sit
around.
I need to be
wearing
you, like,
caftan and purple and, you know.
I know, right? Oh, do you have the patchouli? The patchouli and
the
sandal would be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. No, you know what? I love visualization because we do it all the time. We daydream. We let our minds wander. And, you know, I think we've all had the experience where we suddenly kind of wake up on the freeway and go, oh, crap, did I pass my exit? Did I not get the – I don't – where am I? Or you – take the route you always go to work, and it's Saturday, and you're actually going somewhere else. And we've all done that, where we're being mindless. If we can take the power of that visualization and be mindful, now I use visualization all the time. To me, that is my, other than the mini meditations, for healing, the visualization is amazing. And there has been so many incredible studies about people who lower their blood pressure. We can change the temperature in our limbs. We can speed wound healing. We can see tumors and cysts and things shrink. We can adjust these things in our bodies. And I was taught to visualize when I was about 15, and the gentleman taught me how to visualize my immune system. And he said, picture a place behind your heart, and I now know that to be the thymus gland, which produces T cells. And he said, picture all those white blood cells in that place behind your heart rushing to your throat, because I was experiencing a sore throat. He said, maybe it's white light, maybe it feels warm, maybe it feels cool, but picture them like the cavalry rushing over the hill, flooding into that area and taking care of the sore throat. And I went home that night, and I did. I was in a production of Oklahoma with him, so we were in rehearsals, and it was crazy, and I was in school. And I woke up the next morning after doing this visualization. I had no sore throat, and I did not get sick. And I've been doing visualization since. And I had cracked a vertebrae in my back when I was in college. I was a theater major, and I did a lot of dancing, and I was warming up to audition to be a dancer on a cruise ship. I don't know, it seemed like a good idea. And my foot on the ground went out from underneath me, and I landed smack on my tailbone on linoleum floor, really hurt myself, danced for 4 hours, went home that night, went to bed, woke up the next morning, could barely move. And it turned out I had cracked a vertebrae. They wanted to put me in a back brace. I said, oh, no, this is not happening. And so I went home and I thought, wow, this visualization thing. Well, visualizing the immune system isn't going to work because that's not really the problem. But I wonder what image I could have. And so I came up with this image of this little construction worker. He looks kind of like the Super Mario Brothers guy. And he's got a tool chest and a little tool belt and little boots and a hat. And I pictured him walking up to the vertebrae and looking at it, and taking his caulking gun or his cement and his little trowel and filling in the vertebrae where it was cracked. And I pictured this every night for the 2 weeks leading up to my next test. And lo and behold, they did a bone scan, and they compared it to the x-ray, and the crack was gone. The doctor was flabbergasted. He had no idea what to do. My dad sat in the corner kind of going, what? With his head tilted to one side, like, you know, when a dog hears a high-pitched sound. That's the face my dad had on. And I went, okay, thank you, and we left the doctor's office. And that was such an indication to me of how powerful our mind can be. And if we can find a way to use that visualization, and I've used it since. I've used it for illnesses. I had a trapeze accident where I had to heal a toe. And I heal incredibly quickly because I utilize not only antibiotics and, you know, massage and homeopathics and acupuncture, and I do the physical stuff as well. I'm not saying we should eschew that for just sitting around and daydreaming. But if we can use that visualization and it helps even 10%, why not tap into that? And so I teach people to visualize all the time. If you can't see actual pictures, because some people just can't visualize, it's not the way they're wired, listening to a guided visualization or a guided meditation and hearing the words is going to help as well. And I'm not telling you these stories so you think, oh, Kathy's cool, she can heal herself. I'm telling you this because we're all cool, and we can all help heal ourselves. And we have this incredible untapped power that I urge everybody to explore because, again, no side effects, and it's free. The worst is you're going to be more relaxed, and even that is a benefit. So I love visualization, my favorite thing.
It is really funny how, you know, that is such a, you know, you've talked about two things that I know. I can call people right now that I know that have been friends for years and talk about either of these, and they're going to, like, immediately roll their eyes. It's just, mm-hmm. It's amazing to me how, and it's not, it's been around forever. And as you say, it is another thing of how people, you know, keep manifesting a similar thing. They go into it preset. Going into that meeting, they've already got anxiety going into the meeting because they already had set up in their mind that there's going to be a confront with somebody in that meeting.
Yeah.
Versus going into the meeting and seeing it. And I'm not an airy, fairy guy. I'm really not. I mean, I'm not a cigarette-smoking kind of guy, but I'm not a, you know, I'm like a regular guy. And so it's just amazing how it just that slight shift changes the headspace. And I'm certain somebody, you know, if we had Sherry look at it, she could look at hormone cascades and all sorts of amazing things that would confirm all that. But, I mean, it's and there is the other, you know, another thing for the more sports-oriented, that I would be willing to bet pretty good money that there isn't a professional sports team in America, probably worldwide, that doesn't do some sort of pre-game visualization.
Yep. You are absolutely right. And so many of the studies that I've seen about visualization, other than the ones I mentioned with, you know, the blood pressure and the limb temperature and the wound healing, so much of the visualization and the whole positive self-talk thing, which I think goes hand in hand with that, they've done sports studies. They did studies with high jump. They did studies with darts. They did studies with free throws. And visualizing the skill improves you almost as much as actually practicing the skill. Now, this has to be a skill you already know. So if you hand me a basketball and, you know, you tell me to visualize free throws, I'm not all that really skilled at it anyway. So it has to be something that you already know how to do. You're not going to learn a new skill that way from what the studies have shown. But you can improve it. And I studied with a gentleman named Daniel Brown my second time at Harvard, where we actually did the sit on the pillow and do full meditation, which I actually can now do. I think the minis were kind of a gateway drug for me. And he taught us a few visualizations for performance enhancement. And he said he worked a lot with a lot of athletes, which made perfect sense to me. And the other population he worked with was judges. And I thought, gosh, you know, I never thought about that. But talk about having to be on your game. You know, you're deciding the fate of someone, the life and death. You have to be conscious and, cognitively ready to weigh all these options and make a very intelligent decision and recall other cases and be present in that moment. And he worked with a lot of judges and attorneys. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. I wouldn't have, you know, I never would have suspected that was the other population he did so much work with. But, yeah, sports and legal. And I thought, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's something we can all do, and yet it is simple. It's you have to work on learning to visualize, but it's simpler than, you know, to me, going through a major surgery or taking a lot of prescriptions or, again, not a replacement for that, but it's an enhancement. And I encourage everyone to try it and see how it works for you.
Can you talk about, do you have hints and clues for people to begin to absorb, you know, to observe their stress indicators? Because I think, because I have observed as a practitioner that people sometimes come in and they haven't intentionally gathered the stress. It just sort of, it begins to pile up. And we haven't even talked, that's a whole other show talking about the environmental stressors that can add. I'm just talking about sort of like mindset stressors. And do you have people that have, like, early warning signs, like bad weather flags that go up and they go, oh, there's a, I should go do a mini meditation? Do you have hints and clues?
I do. You know, I mean, there's the very classic ones, you know, high blood pressure, an ulcer, teeth grinding, muscle tension. We're seeing shoulders up to people's ears, digestive problems, sleep issues, road rage. Oh, my gosh, I've never in my life seen so many people angry on the freeway. And I think they feel out of control of their lives, so they will control if you're getting in front of them. I just drove back from Los Angeles last night, and I'm just watching people and how they interact on the freeway, and it's scary. People forget you can kill other people doing this. But it's an illustration of how stressed they are, and they're finding a very unhealthy way to release their stress, which is, you know, cutting you off, flipping you off, pushing you off the side of the road. So that's definitely road rage, sign of stress, or driving in L.A. Like I said, teeth grinding, headaches, the sleep issue, the being very short with the people around you, because, again, we have to find an outlet for that stress, and you can't really go into your boss's office and yell and scream and tell him he's an idiot. So you go home, and you're short with the spouse, and you're mad with the kids, and you yell at the cat, and, you know, it comes out somehow. Either it comes out through illness or it comes out through verbal, you know, outbursts. So different things, you know, if you wake up with a headache, typically that means you've been clenching your jaw all night or grinding your teeth. That's definitely an indication of stress. The not sleeping thing is huge. It's those thoughts that are keeping us awake half the night. It's not necessarily a physiological thing, It's, you know, you're dwelling on the day, you're worried about tomorrow. That's where doing the minis or the visualization or the affirmations, all that can really help get someone through that sleeplessness. So there's, you know, so many indications. I think maybe on my website I have a list of probably about 30 things, and they're definitely listed in the books as well.
And do you think it's beneficial to this will be really short. Do you think it's beneficial if people begin to observe those, if they just want to start with their gateway, using the mini meditation, just start with that, sort of do, and here's another eye roller, act as if, you know, start doing the mini meditation at that moment that you observe that, just that. That's all you have to do.
Yep.
You don't have to, like you say, that sit on a pillow. Oh, not that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that really is. Sometimes we need a reminder. You know, I was sitting in an airport waiting for my fourth flight delay, and I had texted my husband, and I said, you know that face I make before I flip out? I think I'm making that face because I was about to lose it. I was so frustrated and exhausted and hungry, and, you know, he typed back, do a mini. And I went, oh, right. I have these tools, and sometimes even I forget, and I teach them. You know, it's like I'm far from perfecting all of these techniques, but you have to remember to do them. And, you know, working with a partner who can say, hey, you know, you're starting to get that face, why don't you just take a minute and do a mini? Or, hey, why don't we do some affirmations? You know, this is a great thing that couples and partners and families can do to keep each other in check, because we can observe that in people way before they do themselves, typically. We're a great, unfortunately, a great mirror for everybody. It gets irritating sometimes. But it's nice to know people have our back, you know.
We have a question from the audience, and then we want to talk about your book and talk about your website. So the audience question is, ask her if she has, if she has some of her personal creative visualization stories in her latest book.
Yes, I talk about the back injury. The toe was too recent, so the trapeze accent's not in there. But, yeah, I talk in the visualization chapter. It's a longer chapter. I talk about all the different visualization stuff. And actually, one of the things I'm starting to do is once I have the iTunes, my channel up on iTunes, I'm going to start doing guided visualizations with the amazing music that Rick Reifenstein's doing. And so you'll be able to get those on iTunes and actually follow along with visualizations. We have the mini meditation that's processing right now. And I think the next one I'm going to do is maybe pain, for visualization for pain management. So those are going to be coming. So when they're out, they'll be up on my site.
The book has 5 stars, so that's great. But we'd also like to know about how people can get in touch and about your website. So we've got minutes left.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The website is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter, which I'm just about to do another one. It'll be out in the next week. I do maybe one every 2 months, so I don't bug you. And then there's a lot of free resources, a lot of links to past radio shows, articles, and TV stuff that I've done, so it's a bevy of resources there. So much information. You can get all of my books there, plus I have a massage DVD that you can purchase. And if you enter in the word Head Start, there's a little discount code thing on my site. If you enter Head Start, you'll actually get 10% off all the books. So that's a nice little perk too. And thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. You can find out where I'm going to be speaking. And if you have a place you'd like me to come speak, let me know. I'll come out to you.
Do you have a private practice? Do you consult with people?
I do. I
have to use my radio voice. Do you consult with people? Sorry, I got too inquisitive.
I do consult with people, yes. I have a private practice in Santa Barbara, so I still do the majority of my practice is massage still. But, of course, that transitions as we're in the middle of the massage to talks about stress and talks about nutrition and lots of things. I also do health consulting, so I can sit down with someone either in person or on Skype or the phone and actually go through, you know, the whole health history, talking about stress and mind-body. And, you know, I try to customize everything to what the person really, really needs. That's what I love about natural health as opposed to, you know, the cookie-cutter Western medicine is, you know, you get as much time with me as you need within reason. And, you know, we'll get to the root of the problem and do what we can to fix it.
I like that. You're so Capricornian.
I mean that
as a kindness.
No, I know.
But
yeah,
you just close with the end, we fix it. Oh, well, that's my question then. Yes, of course.
The end. Yeah, no, it's like, you know, and I do medical and therapeutic massage, and people come to me, you know, they leave their office and they come to me and they say, yeah, my coworkers are so jealous that I'm getting a massage, and I tell them, clearly you haven't met Kathy, because, I say this all the time, I don't mess around. this is not fluffy foo-foo. This is I get to the root of the problem, and I want to fix it. I'm very outcome-based, which is very Capricorn. So, yeah, I don't mess around. I want problems to be solved to the best that I can help.
Wonderful. Well, I see that we're just a few minutes over. Fortunately, on this network, we get to go a few minutes over. But I want to thank you ever so much. That was, you know, a great dance. I'm glad we got to talk about two of my favorite things that I will make friends of mine listen to the show, because I know their eyes will roll when we talk about meditation and sitting on the pillow and creative visualization and all those things. They're all like, I hate that. You know, and they just need to get that it's not a, you know, it doesn't need all of the, exactly what you've talked about. It doesn't need to have all the, you know, peacock feathers and the gonging, and that's all cool. I'm not opposed to peacock feathers and gonging. However, you can just do a meditation. You can be wearing a suit and do a meditation. It doesn't have to be a thing.
Yep.
So I love that. I love that you're putting that out there in the world. That's really wonderful.
Good.
This has been really fun.
Good. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I think
thank
she would
so
make
much.
A great regular. There are so many other questions that we haven't answered, so we'll be asking you to come back.
That sounds great.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much, Kathy. And everybody have a most excellent weekend. And Sherry, we'll visualize the ice storm turning into perhaps a rain. How about that? Yeah.
We don't need rain either. Let's just
visualize
sorry,
all right.
it.
We'll visualize the rain coming here to California. That would be really good. We'll just, you can send it on over. I'm completely envisioning rain coming here. That would be wonderful.
The road below us is closed. You can't even get through because of all the water.
Wow. All right, on that note, I visualize, spring around the corner. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much again, Kathy.
You are so welcome. Have a great one.
Bye.